The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
This weekend, of course, is the bank holiday weekend. Lots happening all around the country, and a Carlow Garden Festival will be on. It's running until August the 5th, and their very special guest at this year's festival, sharing his gardening wisdom, is Britain's leading garden writer and broadcaster and presenter of BBC's Gardener's World. It is, of course, Monty Don, who joins me now. Good morning to you, Monty.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us on the programme this morning, Monty. You know, we were talking there about animals and where one of our professors got his first love of animals. And I just wonder, when did gardening start for you? Were you very young, Monty, when you got your green fingers?
Well, I don't know if I got my green fingers, but I certainly got my muddy hands when I was about seven. And my parents made me and my two brothers do a job in the garden every day. There was no question of sort of teasing out my botanical or horticultural interest. It was a question of, right, you will mow the lawn, or you will do this and that and the other. So to be honest, until I was a teenager, it was just one of those jobs I had to do in order that I could stop doing it, you know, and I could go and play. And it wasn't really till I was about 17 that I realized that I actually was enjoying it.
So it was a chore that sounds like it was probably far more worthwhile to you than, I don't know, doing the dishes or doing the laundry.
As it turned out, I'm very grateful that they made me do that. But at the time, I couldn't have said I didn't think it.
Was it a practical garden? You know, was it a place? Was there vegetables or was it a?
We grew a lot of vegetables. Bearing in mind, I'm talking about I was born in 55, so I started gardening about 62, 63. So it was the 60s. We didn't have a deep freeze. There weren't any supermarkets. There was a delivery van that would come, you know, from the greengrocer and the butcher and what have you once a week. But by and large, we ate the vegetables we grew. So we grew a lot of vegetables and fruit. And we had borders and lawns. And it was a big garden. A lot of it was just mowing and edging and clipping and weeding and, you know, not the glamorous side of it. I wasn't one of these people who could name every wildflower by the time they were 10 or had my own little border. It was much more a question of just get out there and do the work, you know.
And you said you were about 17 then when you said it's a good idea. Why was that? What happened then?
Well, I had a moment of epiphany, really. I was not a very happy 17-year-old. I'd been expelled from two schools. I'd been at boarding school a lot, and then I was at home. And I can't remember coming home from school, and it would have been early spring, and going out in the garden to do my job, which by then was voluntary, but was inbuilt into me. And I was sowing carrots. And I remember preparing the soil, and it was a warm early spring day, and the soil for the first time just felt warm, and I could feel the sun on my back and on my neck. And then feeling that warm earth, I suddenly had a profound sense that this is where I wanted to be, that I wanted nothing else at all other than that moment, which is pretty much the definition of happiness. You know, if you feel in any one moment you have everything that you could ever want. And for most people, I now know, as an old man, that it's a cup of tea or somebody that you want to be with or just watching a dog walk along. It's never a grand occasion.
But you were very lucky that happened to you at the age of 17, because I know you say for many people it happens a certain time, but I mean, for it to happen at an early age that can be quite a turbulent time. You know, you were sort of lucky, I suppose, were you, that you hit on that at that time of your life?
Yeah, I was. I was very lucky, and I was. It stayed. It was a very profound experience, and it's never left, really. I knew then that's what I wanted. I have to say that I didn't convert that into any kind of professional career or job till I was in my 30s. You know, in other words, it was a private thing. It was, and all through my 20s. I gardened a lot, but privately. You know, I gardened for other people as a job. I mean, in terms of cutting hedges and growing vegetables and things, but as a student, you know, student work. I went to France and I worked in a garden there, but I didn't do a course. I always thought it was something that was inside me rather than a career path. And then I stumbled on this malarkey of appearing on television. And I wanted to be a writer. I wanted to be a novelist. And it took me to my 30s to realize that actually what I wanted to write about were gardens and the landscape and being outdoors, you know.
Had you been reading about gardens at that point? I mean, you know,
No, absolutely not. And I didn't know anybody who gardened. And it wasn't. I met my wife when I was 22, 23, and she was interested in gardens. She wasn't a gardener, but she liked gardens. And very quickly, you know, she learned, became a good gardener. But then it was good to have someone to do it with, you know, someone to share it with. Because up until then, there was no one really.
You happy to share it? Because you said that. You know, you said it was a kind of a private thing that you were doing, but then did you, you know, were you happy to share it with
your... Yeah, but don't you think that's one of the measures of love, you share things that are private, you know? Mm. You share... and it was great, yes, no, I'm very happy to share it. And also, times have changed so much. We bought a house in London when we were both 25. Well, you can't imagine any 25 doing that now unless they were really rich, you know. I mean, we bought a cheap... I had an inheritance from my grandfather of £7,000, which was enough to put on a deposit for a house, you know, with a garden in London. I think it cost £30,000 or something like that. So, in those days, we could buy a plot of land in the middle of London and make a garden, which we did. But we were in our 20s, and I didn't know anyone else who did it then. It was just Sarah and me.
And did your people who were the same age as you, did they think you were a bit geeky or nerdy?
Yeah,
or
I think
uncool?
They thought they liked it. I mean, people would come around and say, "Wow, you know, who did that?" They all enjoyed it. And we used to eat outside, and they knew we worked in the garden and things. And they used to ask advice and all the rest of it, but. It was a bit like it was treated back then as if it, you know, you found out that you painted a mural on your sitting room, or if you'd, you know, it was something that was part of a household that was a bit unusual. Mm-hmm. It was maybe now a bit equivalent to someone had sort of built a huge tree house in their garden or something like that.
But you, of course. As Monty Don, Gardener's World Monty Don, have brought it mainstream, actually, and for decades have, you know, brought gardening into people's lives. You know, do you feel that? Do you kind of understand?
Well, what I do feel is that because I didn't go through the conventional gardening route, I didn't, you know, go to a parks department or go to Wisley or Kew and come up through that way, I've always said, completely openly, I'm an amateur. I'm an amateur through and through and through. And that, in a way, is a good thing because it means that I can directly relate to everybody else watching or reading, is that I don't write or perform for other professionals. I don't know many professional gardeners. I mean, I know some, and obviously doing what I do, I get to meet them. But most of my friends who garden are people like me with a house and a garden. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important. It means that I come to it as somebody who loves gardening and gardens, is obsessed by it, but attached to my home. It's where I live. It's not where I work.
A couple of people have been in touch already this morning, Monty, talking to you. Blanad said, please say hi to Monty for me. I'm 33 and I only started watching Gardener's World last year and I absolutely love it. I love to chat to my mum and dad about the most recent episode. Thanks for the inspiration, Monty. Also, thanks for his beautiful books.
Well, that's very nice of you. Thank you very much. Obviously, that's why I do it for the money, but I also do it because that sort of feedback is that my main goal is to get other people to love their gardens. And if I can instruct them on how to best do things, that's fine. But much more important is just to get people out there gardening.
What's your favourite part of gardening? I mean, you mentioned there, you painted a beautiful picture earlier when you were talking about being a 17-year-old, feeling the sun on your back and the warmth of the soil as you were sowing the carrots. For you, is it that side of it? Is it the beginning of the journey of whatever your garden's going to produce? Or is it sitting back, relaxing and enjoying the, as you said, the glamorous side of it, looking at your beautiful garden? Or is it pulling up the carrots and eating them for your dinner?
I suspect, like most gardeners, sort of, I was going to say real gardeners, but that makes it sound as though there's some unreal gardeners, is I don't often sit in the garden. I mean, this time of year we eat outside, and that's great. But if I sit down for 3 minutes in a garden, I see something to do, so I have to go and do it. Yeah, the bit I like most is the making. A garden is never finished. There's never a point at which you go, right, I've done that, it's ready. There are moments in a day, like this morning when I was walking around the garden. As I'm talking to you, by the way, there's two large peacock butterflies flying around my head inside the room.
Better inside the room, I suppose, than outside eating something.
But I love the process. I like gardening. I like planting. I like pruning. I like weeding. I like mowing. I'm the doing is what I like. Now, that's not to say that I don't love walking through the garden in, you know, the light is falling in the evening, or at first light is it just rising up and revealing the garden through the mist. That's very beautiful too. But in the end, it's the doing and the making that really drives me.
You've been back and forth. You've been all over the world, of course, in your career, but you've been back and forth to Ireland over the years and spent some time here. How do we fare in looking after our gardens and horticulture? I mean, are we good gardeners, do you think?
Well, I mean, I think the simple answer is yes, you are. But I think that one of the things that anybody who's... I've been coming to Ireland for 45 years now, and what's apparent is that, you know, Ireland has changed in that time. To some sense, you're different from the rest of the British Isles in so much you're both a very old country and a very new country. And I think that's reflected in your gardens. You know, one of the things that used to strike me is how many new houses there were compared to England. And I think new houses, new gardens, is a sense of starting out, seeing how it works. Now, obviously, you do have lots of old houses and you do have lots of old gardens, and there are some fantastic gardeners and gardens. But I think that what Ireland has that excites me is a kind of freshness and openness about it. You're not bogged down in some of the more hidebound horticultural habits and rituals that are going. They're getting better over here, but only recently, and there's still a way to go. So in many ways, I think gardening in Ireland is more exciting. I think it's more interesting.
Loads of people getting in touch, Monty. As a person who had to retire far too early, says Elaine, due to serious health issues, please thank Monty for me, for being such an inspiration to me, a truly special, serene man. The garden has kept me alive this long. Good for the heart and soul, says Brenda, as well as being a great gardener. You write beautiful books. And Jane says, tell Monty I'd watch the programme to see the dogs anyway, even if I hated gardening. Your two dogs, of course, they're beautiful golden retrievers, aren't they?
Yes, they are. They're lying at my feet as we talk.
What are their names again, Monty? Remind us.
Nigel and Nelly.
Nigel and Nelly, wonderful names. Monty, listen, you're going to be at the Carlo Garden Festival speaking this Saturday. Now, unfortunately, it's sold out, but you're going to be talking about East meets West. What's that
about?
Yeah,
I do a lot of travelling, as you know, and at the moment I'm filming in America. I've just come back last week. But last year I filmed in Japan a few times, and the year before I was filming Islamic gardens in India and Iran and in Morocco and Spain, and the whole sort of Eastern approach to gardening, whether it be the extreme asceticism of a Japanese Zen garden or the way that Islam and the West come together in ways which I suspect many people are unaware, has completely fascinated me. So what I really want to show is what I've seen and share it, because not everybody gets the chance to do those things. B, what my interpretation of it and how it's affected me, and C, also in my own garden, how I'm beginning to interpret that and share it. So it's a kind of travelogue and a chat and a chance to poke around my own garden and the odd dog chucked in.
Oh, lovely, Nigel. And listen, Monty, we could talk to you for ages, but unfortunately, that's it for now. And you'll be in Carlow this weekend, and there's no doubt that they will be absolutely loving listening to you and meeting you. Monty Dunn, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We'll take
a
quick ad break.
Thank you very much indeed.